chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are rest make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off the program this evening with Greg Reese talking about remote viewing. And man, that goes bump in the dark. So here we go with Greg Reese and remote viewing.
The counterculture is now aware of false flags, operations that are executed by the powers that be and blamed on someone else, are now being called out in real time on social media platforms, despite all the censorship. It's becoming popular, and if the powers that be can no longer trick us, then they will try and hurt us. According to the scientific data, nearly all humans have a certain degree of psychic awareness, and some of us become acutely aware of it. The term remote viewing was coined by the U.S. Department of Defense when they began training people in this field. It is the art of viewing an unknown target at any distance within the mind's eye and retrieving accurate data. To refine this data, remote viewers work together as a team and look for redundant data.
When we look at remote viewing data, if one person says something, you know, that's interesting. If two describe the same thing, that's a little more weight. When three or four describe the same thing, we pretty much take that to the bank.
Remote viewing teams such as the Future Forecasting Group work with a double-blind protocol. This means that they do not know where or what the target is. The information they are given is an arbitrarily designated number, such as A9I5-Q7K4. As they blindly view the target in a meditative state of focus, imagery is flashed in the mind and immediately sketched out and collected. The Future Forecasting Group has been successful at predicting the Panama Canal incident, the destruction of the Kakhovka Dam in Ukraine, the Halloween stampede in South Korea, police violence at the Canadian trucker protest, and many others, which can all be found at futureforecastinggroup.com. The Future Forecasting Group was recently assigned the target of the next financial crisis, but the entire team was all distracted by overpowering images of a catastrophic event. They all saw the same thing: massive explosions with multiple points of impact, small particles and debris falling from the sky, people sick with cesium, which is the most dangerous of all radioactive isotopes used in dirty bomb scenarios. They saw police checkpoints, people seeking shelter underground, and an exodus of sad-looking people. Remote viewing goes back in the written record for millennia and has been repeated in the current scientific record for decades. According to this body of work, most people are able to do this, and this is why Cliff High's predictive linguistics program works. By reading the entirety of human language across the World Wide Web, the program will list repeated words and phrases in all languages, creating a macroscopic view of what everyone is talking about. So if all humans are psychic, whether they know it or not, then you would see it in the collective chatter. Especially for traumatic events, the bigger the trauma, the more people would be emoting their anxiety online. And key words can be found, such as the word ejecta, which has been showing up in Cliff High's work, which shows the same event.
My data has very rarely had this particular set of words show up in it, and one of it was ejecta. Ejecta, as though...
And that was in our remote viewing data,
Predictive linguistics reveals a time frame of when a big event happens at the point in time when the tension language ends and the release language begins. The tension language is the psychic awareness before an event, and the release language is the event itself, as everyone is made aware. Based on this, Cliff High sees this event happening near the end of the year. Both the Predictive Linguistics and the Future Forecasting Group saw that this was a decision that was made by some faction of government, and they propose that if enough eyes are on the powers that be, then maybe it will never happen.
We are in this period of time that I call uncertainty, okay? And throughout, from here to the event is an uncertain period of time in which we will feel uncertainty as we move towards this event. But I'm of the opinion that we can do things now that will alter the potential future that would arise. And so people out there, I'm of the opinion that if we got enough people to talk about this and know about this, it would make both of us into bullshitters because it wouldn't happen.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
That remote viewing goes bump in the dark. Next is Alex with, he's got a special program Saturday. We're going to embed the whole thing, but here's just a small excerpt of what Alex had to say today at his emergency session.
They killed Trump as well and blame that on some leftist to create total division and civil war. That's been the name of the game, is destabilization and collapse of not just the United States, but all of the West. They're bringing price controls into Europe, price controls into Canada. We are at a very important inflection point. So I again suggest everyone go to InfoWars.com, read the article right now. I'm going to try to get Ed Dowd on maybe even the Sunday show tomorrow or the Monday or Tuesday show. He's usually pretty responsive, but he really brought up some points and angles that I hadn't even thought of. And so I think we can put our heads together and really decipher what's happening and get ahead of this, just like we did 5 weeks ago in laying out they were planning to try to roll out the COVID measures again. So when they then, a few weeks later, did try it, there was an even bigger rejection of it because people weren't caught flat-footed. So that's our first story today. Now let's move on to the second big story. Our second story ties in to the first, and that is global intelligence agencies, Western intelligence agencies, using the same formulas to try to demonize, censor, deplatform, and then even imprison their political opposition. You see this happening with President Trump on multiple fronts, but also the false sexual assault front with absolutely no proof. Same thing was done to Julian Assange, well, and countless others. Now it's being done to Russell Brand because he's exploded in popularity and exponentially growing with tens of millions of viewers every few days, exposing every New World Order agenda that's out there. I shot a quick video report on this where I lay out some of the basic facts, but the central point is that thanks to Rumble, because the rest of Big Tech didn't tell anybody, but thanks to Rumble, we now know the British government's been pressuring them to deplatform Russell Brand, which we know YouTube and others have now done because he's been accused 16 years ago of being rough in sex, maybe rape, but of course they have no evidence, and it's all of these anonymous people, the same formula over and over again. Meanwhile, you've got all the incredible sex crimes, the globalists out in the open, the sexualization of children, incredibly short prison sentences for brutal pedophiles that kidnap children in places like the UK, that is really the model of the New World Order system, and really the UK is the center of the New World Order spider web. You could say that Brussels, Belgium is in the UN, or Israel's got a lot of the top globalists in it, or the Vatican, but New York City, D.C., but really at the end of the day, the formulas of control, the tyranny we witness, is the British MI6 model. In fact, they developed the whole transgenderism cult back in the 1960s and 70s at the Tavistock Institute. So here's my quick boil down on Russell Brand and the latest developments. Russell Brand is being railroaded. The exact same intelligence agency factions that set up Julian Assange with CIA sex operatives, that's on record, and who also have falsely convicted civilly President Trump of rape in New York, are using the same formula against anybody that challenges Big Pharma, the war in Ukraine, the destruction of our borders, the whole WEF takeover of our planet. And Russell Brand has really matured over the years. He told me personally on air that I woke him up 12 years ago. He's been on the show. He visited in Austin. And he's been very honest about the fact that he was a playboy. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a statute of limitations in most countries because innocent people won't be able to have alibis or witnesses decades later. They won't remember what happened, and so somebody can simply make it up. England does not have a statute of limitations, and that's why this is so incredibly dangerous, and they're now talking about putting him in jail. What about King Charles's brother at Epstein Island and reportedly raping young girls underage? What about the Epstein Island list that they won't release? What about Ukraine caught human trafficking children's organs? What about the human trafficking across the U.S. border from Mexico in the hundreds of thousands a year put into sex slavery? No, no, no. The media doesn't care about that. They care about Russell Brand. And that's why Nigel Farage and myself and Tucker Carlson and countless others have come out and said, we see government fingerprints on this. Russell said it a week and a half ago when the news first broke. And now they admit the British government's been coordinating behind the scenes with dinosaur media, the intelligence agencies, and others, and reaching out to Big Tech to begin the deplatforming of Russell Brand. So not only will he be tried in the media ahead of being charged, no, now they're taking away his money and his platforms to communicate with people and calling for Rumble to be shut down because they're not going along with the censorship. That's why we have a channel on Rumble as well. They do a great job. We show back up to the hilt. We also have Infowars.com and Band.video with our media if you want to see what they're trying to suppress. But I stand with Russell Brand. You should too. He's innocent. It's totally clear. This is synthetic. It's a setup by the evil, corrupt deep state. I'll see you at Infowars.com. Don't lie down and take it. Spread the word about this broadcast. Pray for this broadcast. Support other broadcasts, please. And please financially support us at Infowarsstore.com. Only way we operate is your funding. You are the InfoWar. You're the reason we're here. Please go to InfoWarStore.com right now and empower yourself and your immune system and your body and your health and your vitality with a trifecta sale, 40% off, with DNA Force Plus finally back in stock, Body's Ultimate Tumor Formula finally back in stock, and Real Red Pill finally back in stock. It's been a year since all three have been back in stock together. There's no excuse not to get them. They're so amazing together. 40% off right now when you get all three together, or 25% off individually. The trifecta sale right now at InfoWarsStore.com. The only way we fail is you don't take action. This will enrich and empower your life, and it keeps us on the air. So if you want us to keep fighting in the face of these attacks, we can't do it without you. Plus, these are great products you need. That is a total win, a 360 win, the trifecta sale. Go now, InfoWarsStore.com. Our next story comes to us via the London Telegraph. And when they broke this story a day ago, people thought that it was The Onion or the Babylon Bee. But no, it was no joke. Marina Abramović, the Aleister Crowley following admitted witch who poses with the head of the Rothschild family in front of a painting of Lucifer summoning his legions, the woman in the WikiLeaks documents with the Podestas, inviting them over for Aleister Crowley rituals. Yes, that Marina Abramović, she has been summoned by Zelensky in Ukraine to be their cultural ambassador to the children, to come to Ukraine and aid all the little poor children that have been hurt by the Russians. You cannot make this garbage up. Also, at the site of a mass grave, an execution of 30-plus thousand Jews by the Nazis, whose grandkids are now fighting against the Russians today, the Azov Battalion, can't make that up. She put in a giant black wall with crystals on it where you reportedly suck the energy out of the site of death. So it's very Aztecian, again, very satanic, yet again, you cannot make this up until you really begin to research this woman who admits on a Reddit Ask Me Anything that she is into the occult, but then has criticized me in the New York Times and said she's thought about suing me because it's just preposterous. She's not into any of this, of course. Reminds me of the author of Gender Queer, a comic book for children teaching them how to have pedophilic sex. And she's come out and said, oh, no, it, I guess non-binary, has said, this was never for children, never. That's just why it was put in middle schools all over the country, including Austin, Texas, where I live. So I wanted to just lay this out and explain to folks that the globalists are powered by the occult. They are heavily into the occult, whether it's Skull and Bones or Bohemian Grove. This occultism is really the top of the pyramid of the New World Order. People ask me, is it Catholic? Is it Masonic? Is it Jewish? Is it Communist Chinese? Is it Russian? No, folks, it's not one group that runs things. It's people of every race, color, and creed and religious background that are secretly into Satan worship. And if you look at the Super Bowl halftime shows or the Oscars or any of it now, they're no longer hiding it, but the Satanism is now everywhere, coming out in the open. It's making its move. And so people say, this is a joke. Why would you get this witch to be the ambassador, a cultural ambassador to the children? Well, it's because they love to rub it in. They believe she's super powerful, and all these Hollywood people go to her to get the power and channel the great power she's got. And oh, she never ages. Really looks old and ugly to me. I'm not trying to be mean, but you know, this lady is an absolute, total, and complete abomination, and she really represents the heart and the core of what we're facing. She's an admitted follower of Aleister Crowley, the reported most evil man to ever live. I don't think that's really a title he deserves, but he was very, very evil and helped popularize modern Satanism that's destroying our world today. So I just wanted to get that on record. If you want to learn more about her, we've got reports up on Infowars.com and more. But look up the World War II memorial that she was the designer of, and see it for yourself in Ukraine. It's just over-the-top insane.
Our next clip is Michael Yon. He's been down in the Darien Gap. He gives us some new explosive information on the buildup that's continuing to occur in the Darien Gap to bring people in from Panama directly into our southern border. Here we go with Michael Yon.
I'm not just randomly saying that I think at least 1 million people will come down this road next year. I mean, last month alone was 82,000, and this is rainy season, right? And so I think whenever I give an estimate like this, it's usually pretty conservative. If you go back and you audit this at the end of 2024, you'll probably see it some number far higher than 1 million. And so that's it. This will be invasion. This is not the only place where invasion takes place. You're down on the border a lot. You know what you've seen. I've been down there with you. I mean, and so there's many other flows that join besides the Darien Gap. There's flows through, of course, many of the Chinese will fly to Cancun first, they'll fly to Mexico City first. Many will fly to actually Bahamas, and they're coming up on Florida shores in boats that they buy in the Bahamas. Of course, we got a lot of people coming over the northern border from Canada, the place formerly known as Canada. And then we have also, again, going back to Central America, many people fly into Nicaragua, many Cubans fly into Nicaragua, and many fly into also El Salvador and other places, and then make it their way north. And not only that, I mean, there's places in Guatemala where the villages are essentially empty. I mean, the villages have emptied out, and they're in the United States.
This is the economic Trojan horse of the New World Order. This is the economic Trojan horse of the UN. They are sending them in as quote-unquote migrants, like in a Trojan horse, and then they get unloaded, and they crash our economy.
Dangerous things happening out here all the time along that southern border, but it's getting worse. Simone Gold is a good clip here. I'm going to put the full interviews up on this, but Simone Gold was a frontline doctor's founder, and she went to prison for a short period of time because of January 6th, but she's a very stand-up lady. So here we go with Simone Gold, Dr. Simone Gold.
All right, Flavor family, we're backstage here in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Reawaken America event, and with Dr. Simone Gold.
Welcome, Simone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I love seeing you guys.
Yeah, one of our favorite people to talk about. And I just want to jump right in with this idea of, I think the biggest thing we've learned from every episode we've done over the last 2.5 years from military people and medical and everything else is we're in an era where people have to take ownership of their own stuff, their finances.
Yep.
Like, you better research that yourself, your children's education. You better look into it. Your faith. You know, maybe your pastor, you know, you need to
own it.
You better own this yourself. And more than everything else that's really come out, you'd better own your own health care. Just like blindly doing what someone says and not educating yourself in the process, because there's sort of a split in the road of where we're headed in the future when it comes to health care.
You said it perfectly. One of my favorite quotes is Henry David Thoreau says, if you don't think for yourself, others will think for you,
yeah,
but not of you. In every area of our life that you've given up ownership, someone else will make the decision for you, and it will not be in your best interest.
Yep.
Period. So they do that with finances. For example, our taxes are taken directly out of employees' paychecks. If that wasn't the case, employees, workers, Americans would never tolerate the degree of taxation that we're
talking
if they actually but the money is invisibly gone. People don't think of it. It was a sleight of hand. That's also
good
true
point.
In the medical space. The medical industrial complex are those businesses that you're financing with your dollars, and they in turn oppress you and don't put your first your interest first. So, for example, many people have Blue Cross or United Health Group or Kaiser, for example, and they're writing a check every month, or their employer is writing a check and they're writing part of a check. The average family of four is $2,000 out of their pocket. Maybe you're only spending $500 of it. Maybe your employer is doing $1,500, but that $1,500 could have come to you. It's on average $2,000. What are you getting for the $2,000? Americans would be up in arms over this if they realize how much they're spending.
Yes, that's such a great point.
We've got to be wise about all of our decisions because the other people are taking advantage because we're not looking.
Since COVID came along, since 2020, have you seen a change in people and in them taking more responsibility for their own health care?
Yes. There's no doubt that there's a shift going on, and I do think there's a lot of people looking for solutions. I think now our challenge is getting the word out that there are solutions. My solution is in the medical space. That's Gold Care. Other solutions are coming up. I'm just going to plug Old Glory Bank in the banking space, John Rich and Larry Elder. So there are people that are coming up in every space. You need to pay attention. I've switched my accounts over to Old Glory. I'm tired of Chase and Bank of America threatening us.
And canceling.
Medical, media, and minds. You've got to take over your children's education. So we, the answer is yes, and we have solutions in the medical space. One of them is GoldCare.com.
Well, let's talk about GoldCare. What do you offer at GoldCare.com?
So it is a membership. So first you need to come and join and be a member, because once you're a member of the family, we treat each other like family. We treat you with respect. We treat us with respect. And we keep the government out of your business. We don't give information to the government. You'd be shocked at how much information the government is getting from your doctor, or your doctor doesn't even know that they're sharing the information.
Yep.
So first of all, it's completely private. You come and join our member our membership, and for monthly or annual membership fee, you get one doctor visit per month, and you could get more if you need it for extra money. But it's all very transparent. And we have wellness classes. Another thing that we do is we've combined like allopathic doctors like myself, an MD, a medical degree. Like I went to Chicago Medical School. I was board certified in emergency medicine. I'm what you think of as a kind of a classically trained doctor. We take doctors like myself, and we work side by side with naturopathic doctors and holistic doctors. It doesn't really exist anywhere else. The truth is most Americans don't need, you know, a physician as much as they need a wellness coach, a wellness guide, someone to educate them, lose a little weight, exercise a little more. That's spirituality, very important component of Gold Care. We have spiritual pastors and coaches. So we put the wellness and the clinic and the disease together. We only give you what you need, and you come and join and be part of the family. It's kind of amazing. Just go to goldcare.com. There's a little video. It'll explain all of it.
Yeah, I think that the shift is happening. It's probably not going to happen for the whole country, but there's a large growing part that that saw COVID through this lens of, I use the example, like if I knew that Dr. Mark Sherwood, you know, big, strong guy, if he was going to come punch me in the stomach, my best bet would be to put a cutting board under my shirt beforehand, you know, prepare, where the old mindset was kind of like, okay, he's probably going to punch me, there's nothing I can do about it, and hopefully I can rub some Bengay on it, or my ribs will heal, or you'll help me with broken, you know, you'll help me after the fact. And people are starting to shift more towards, you know, what if I take care of my car? What if I get the oil changed regularly? What if I do these things that I do in other areas of my life?
I want to share with you something that I heard just yesterday. A colleague of a colleague, a friend of mine, said to me, you know, and he's about 55 or 50 and a little bit overweight. Not terrible, maybe 20, 30 pounds overweight. And he said, you know, the other day I got a phone call from the pharmacy, and they told me my prescription is ready. I'm like, what prescription? He goes, well, your doctor called in a prescription for your diabetes. And the patient said, my friend said, I don't have diabetes. And the pharmacist said, yes, you do. The doctor called in a prescription. So here we have a situation of a patient goes in to see his doctor for regular checkup. The doctor doesn't even call him, sees an abnormal lab result, calls in a prescription, never talks with him, not only never has a conversation with him, never even considers diet, exercise, or conversation. That really happened. I heard that yesterday. That there's something wrong and broken in the system. We're going to offer you a much better way out.
That is really good. I think in the past, you know, people would have just accepted that. Well, my doctor said, so I've got to take it. Where now I think people are a little bit more like, wait a second here. I need to research this. What are my other options? Which is very encouraging for where we are today.
It's where we saw a lot. Even me as a doctor, I didn't know a lot of things until a few years ago. We all saw on social media the Blue Cross payments to doctors. If the children or the adults were compliant with the vaccine schedule, maybe you want to take vaccines. I took all vaccines until COVID. I didn't think about it. I didn't have a dog in a fight, so to speak. But I would have liked to have known that the doctors were being financially incentivized to tell me to take it. I didn't know that. So Dr. Malone on his Substack, he put out where the actual numbers were. So if a doctor has 1,800 patients in their practice, which is low, usually they have more like 2,000 or 3,000. 1,800, and they complied, and 75% of their patients took both COVID shots. That represented $370,000 in a year to the practice.
Wow.
Don't tell me that that's not controlling what the doctor says to the patient. We need to get back to the doctor-patient relationship.
Yes.
The doctor should just be a consultant or an advisor to you. Same as an accountant is, same as a lawyer is. They should give you advice with their, you know, years of education.
Sure.
And that's really it. They're not bots.
Right.
They're not bots.
Yep.
And so we need to get back to the doctor-patient relationship.
Do you think that this could be healed? You know, I think there's a lot of skepticism right now about the medical complex. Can this be healed?
The problem can be fixed. You can have great medical care with ethical doctors, but the healthcare system as it stands in America, let me say clearly, 100%, the healthcare system cannot be fixed.
Okay.
It is rotten to the core. It is not salvageable. But you can save yourself and your family and your business by stepping outside.
Yeah,
Same as you can step outside in the educational system, you can step outside of the medical industrial complex.
Yeah,
And that's, I think, all of these categories, the medical one's the hardest for people to wrap their mind around. Because, like, well, if I wasn't a part of the big building and the structure and where my doctor, like, what would I even...
Right. So the problem is, I don't want to say anything too vulgar, but a colleague said, you have to get off the teat of mothers of medical industrial complex.
Yeah.
It's like being breastfed.
Yeah.
We've all been led to believe that you need health insurance to be an American.
Yep.
I myself got off health insurance more than 10 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
There's competitors out there to the health insurance system.
Yep.
I don't want to go into the weeds right now and explain it, but it's perfectly legal. It's been part of the American landscape for about 50 years, and it's growing. It's the healthcare ministry system, community medical cost sharing. And it's legal, and it's so much better than the health insurance. It costs about half.
We do the same.
That's exactly what we do.
Like MediShare, Lipdale Share, Zion, you know, all of these other alternatives.
Christian healthcare ministries.
Christian healthcare ministries, exactly. Liberty, all of them.
Yeah.
So we have found a way. You join us as a membership. This way you can get yourself a gold care doctor who's like-minded, because not everybody in the healthcare sharing ministries are like-minded.
Sure.
So we've curated a group of like-minded doctors in our group, and then we partnered with a healthcare cost-sharing ministry.
That is so good.
And so you save money and get better care.
I love that.
No brainer.
But once they do make that shift, though, it makes a ton of sense, and nobody will go back. You're like, oh, I get it. Why didn't I do this along?
I did it 10 years ago. The amount of money I've saved, it's probably $10,000 a year.
While helping each other.
Helping each other.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful model.
It is.
It's a beautiful model, and it's positive and uplifting, and it's not negative. A lot of times people will pray for you, they'll write letters for you to encourage you when you get sick. You also, even on a minor point, you know, if you get into an accident or a big hospitalization, you get those huge long statements from the hospital that no one can decipher, you don't have that with our ministry partner.
Right.
You simply have, the bill's paid.
Right. It's huge.
Wow.
Okay, I want to talk about a couple more things before we let you go. Let's talk about the White Coat Summit and how people can watch it. It's already happened, but they can still get this information.
Yes, so America's Frontline Doctors, we became well-known after July 27, 2020 for standing on the steps of the Supreme Court for your truth.
Absolutely.
We came back on a three-year anniversary, July 27, 2023. We spoke truth again. You know, they're going to try this again. They're going to pull this again. So we have hours and hours of information that we videotaped. You can find it at whitecoatsummit.com. If you want to know what to expect, what's coming, how to arm yourself, it's there. We have five congressmen and one senator who joined us, which is very impressive. It shows that they really understand what has happened.
Yes.
We presented to Congress 100,000 petitions signed by Americans to arrest Fauci. That man has done a lot of damage in this world. Please go and check it out, whitecoatsummit.com.
And we'll put a link down below that you can click and go directly to that in this video.
This is information that we put out as a nonprofit organization to benefit you, the public. It's amazing content. Dr. Malone, Dr. Jensen, Dr. Napudi, Dr. Manuel, it's all there.
It's great.
Our favorite people.
Yep, exactly. And then you have a book coming out. Talk about that a little bit.
So we all know that I went through a difficult time where I was put in prison.
A lot of people prayed for you during
that
time.
I know. And I can never say thank you enough to all the people that wrote letters. There are the uplifting that did for me was huge.
Yeah.
I use my story as an example to teach people what's gone wrong with our system. So the book is called Selective Persecution, because there's a legal phrase, selective prosecution. Selective persecution. And every chapter goes through what the DOJ is doing wrong and using me as an example. And you could see at every step of the way what the judiciary did wrong, what the Congress did wrong, et cetera. So it's coming out on J6. You know,
wow.
And where can they buy
appropriate.
It? Selective Persecution. I'm going to give you a QR code. I would love it if you share it.
We can definitely
it's very important to me that people read this, because the J6 persecution is the civil rights issue of our time now.
Yes, no doubt about it.
A quick prayer for my co-defendant, John Strand, who was sentenced to 32 months.
Okay, yes, absolutely. We'll be praying for John.
It's a very interesting time that we typically only read about in history, but now we're in it. You know, the pastors, doctors, you know, people that are being persecuted for actually doing a great job of doing their job.
Yes. There's an ancient Chinese proverb, or curse rather, ancient Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well, we are, but you know what? I'm glad that God fought enough of us to put you in them with us.
Yep.
And we got people that have risen up to fight and defend and to make changes, so we're very thankful for you.
I want to tell everybody not to be discouraged. There's a lot you can do as an individual. You can attend Clay Clark events. You can read books. You can be educated. Do not comply. They plan to come back and try to put the masks on you again. Absolutely do not comply. It's blatantly illegal. Go to AFLDS.org for all the scientific information you need to back up your position. We can help you. We're here for you.
Yep, that's great. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Here we have Alan Dershowitz saying that Hunter will never go to trial. He'll probably work out a plea bargain on those three counts, those three charges, and probably be a probated sentence. So that's the way they're going to probably work that out. But here we go with Alan Dershowitz stating that very thing now.
Is there anything else on your radar that you would put on ours, Alan, with regard to this sort of, I'm not going to say political quagmire, let's just say, the various cases that are unfolding as we're heading into, you know, in many ways, the heart of the election season?
Right. I think there will not be a trial of Hunter Biden. I think Hunter Biden will try to make a plea bargain where he admits all of the factual allegations against him, but tries to preserve repeal the issue of whether or not there was double jeopardy, whether or not the other issues, the Second Amendment precludes him being tried for gun charges. I think that's the way it's going to be resolved. He will get a probationary sentence, not a prison term, and I don't believe there'll be a full-fledged trial in the middle of the election. I think the election cycle will be dominated by the trials of Donald Trump.
And is it likely that Trump could also get off? Do you foresee any scenario in which he might go to jail?
I don't. I think that he'll be convicted in those jurisdictions where, 90% of the jury pool voted against him, like Washington, D.C., or Fulton County, where 75% voted against him. But I think there'll be reversals on appeal, and I don't think that he will be imprisoned. Of course, in Georgia, there is a mandatory prison term if he is convicted. And that's possible, but it will be stayed pending appeal, and the case will eventually get to the federal courts and maybe even to the Supreme Court.
Thank you very much, Alan. I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up next, we have Jonathan Turley, and he's a professor at Georgetown Law School, and he really has been hitting hard about what the real truth is on these cases. And he's of the opinion that this special prosecutor that Garland appointed, which was recently appointed, is not going to give a report until after the election is over in 2024. So that's going to be a real, real big problem. But here we go with Jonathan Turley stating that very same thing, and it's really insightful in what he has to say. So listen carefully.
Meanwhile, we have Jonathan Turley, Fox News contributor, George Washington University law professor, and constitutional law attorney. It is so great to have you in focus. You want to talk about a hot seat. Merrick Garland is in today, possibly the longest day of his life, just in terms of how it must feel. The hot points and the most important things that struck you so far.
Well, it's what we expected. First of all, the substance of his answers really doesn't exceed what you'd find in a Hallmark greeting card, right? It's just basically reciting the same line that we expected, that this is all given to Special Counsel Weiss. There was one thing that I took note of, and that is when he was asked whether, you know, when would these answers be forthcoming, he said they will all be forthcoming from Weiss, and then he added, when he submits his report to Congress. Now, that is significant, because usually a special counsel will not submit the report until largely at the end of the investigation. That would likely be after the election. It certainly would run beyond the impeachment inquiry. That's quite a significant statement if that's what he intended, because Weiss was scheduled to go before the House to answer questions. And it was right before that occurred that Garland made him special counsel. And many of us said that the impact of that could be that it insulates Weiss from having to answer these questions. The statement that he just made would suggest, unless he changes it in later questions, that he intends to answer questions much, much later in the form of the final report given to Congress.
So how would you describe that in terms of what Republicans are trying to do? Is that the ultimate block mechanism? Is it something else?
This is going to get very serious very quickly, because this is not just an oversight question. You now have an impeachment inquiry in the field. Part of that inquiry is whether there was an abuse of power, an abuse of office, whether there was influence that benefited the president's son. If the attorney general is saying, we're not going to answer any questions until the issuance of a final report by the special counsel, that's not going to satisfy Congress. They have to get answers as part of their impeachment inquiry. So this is going to set up a heck of a confrontation if that is indeed the intended meaning that that answer has for the attorney general.
And it better set up some fire, right? Because the American people need to know what they need to know before they vote. And if what you're saying is those very critical questions that have to do even with national security, whether or not a president, then Vice President Joe Biden, would have been part of a constellation, including his son Hunter Biden, where access was gained, where favors were done. What Congressman Matt Gaetz is so, what he said is so true. You don't give money, you don't do business with people anticipating that you'll get nothing in return. No one does business like that. Otherwise, it's called a favor or a gift. And I don't know if you're doing gifts and favors with the places that were listed for those suspicious activity reports, China, so on and so forth. I don't know if we're in the business of giving stuff away as a country, then Vice President Joe Biden and his son. So if those allegations are not looked at before a voting public goes in November of 2024, what should that mean to the nation?
Well, I think that is really the problem here. The polls show that the American people not only have a record low of trust in the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland, but they also believe the president was involved in these business arrangements. Now, we don't know for sure, but that's certainly the public perception. What the attorney general is doing today is only going to magnify those concerns with many in the public. And, you know, the backup argument here that is being put forward by many in the media is that, yeah, they were selling influence and access, but it was just an illusion. So what that means is they're saying that all these corrupt figures were chumps, that the Bidens fleeced, that they thought they were buying influence and access, but they really didn't get it. Well, how do we know, right? That's the point of the impeachment inquiry, Now, what the Attorney General's position here is that you got to go ask Weiss, but then he suggested Weiss isn't going to give you any answers until the final report.
Right.
Well, that's not going to go over well with this Congress.
Look, you said we don't know what happened between the president and his son, and those 20 phone calls that have come into evidence now, where Hunter Biden was on the line with business associates. The then Vice President Joe Biden was on the other end of that line, reportedly, according to them, talking about the weather. And so until you can basically get the transcripts of those calls, the only evidence you have is that that's a lot of calls with your son, with foreign business people on the other end. And then you just take a look at the timing of the calls, who's visiting the White House. Then you can start to put together a tapestry of things that you can overlay on what you know to be facts. But you're still going to need to know the texture of those phone calls, the words that were said. Well, your best time to get that is when people are feeling pressure. And you can bet Hunter Biden is feeling some pressure right now. Joe Biden feeling some pressure, very low in the polls, political pressure. But now, potentially, they won't be able to press in.
Well, I think that the frustration of Congress is they are pursuing these questions. I mean, this business about they just talked about the weather. They were on a speakerphone in Cafe Milano, one of the most popular places in Washington. It would not be a call where you said, okay, exactly what do you want me to give in a quid pro quo?
Fair.
The point of these calls for critics is that it's to show that the vice president at that time was just a call away. And what
Gettable.
The House is zeroing in on is what, right, which is also, you know, what Archer said was that on one occasion, these Ukrainians said, we've got to do something with this guy Shokin, the prosecutor. And the response was, we're going to make a call to D.C. That's what the type of thing that the House is pursuing. Who did the call go to? Why did they make the call at that time? 5 days later, Vice President Biden had his famous ultimatum to fire Shokin. So they have to pursue those questions.
I am so glad you were with me today. And when they resume the hearing, you and I will come back together.
Boy, that Turley is something else. Victor David Hansen is stating here in this next clip that Trump needs to get into the actual issues and the agenda. And he's got to start bringing that up and setting the tone for the Republican Party as such. And these fights about illegal, you know, elections and so forth can be a diversion that can divert him away from hammering away at the agenda, at the very essence of what the Republicans should do. And Victor David Hansen is saying, get to the agenda. So here we go with Victor David Hansen.
He's got two choices. He can be a tragic hero and say that I had some personality excesses. People called me crass and crude, but I got this agenda. We were successful. And now I paved the way for a new Republican Party. But the very Sturm und Drang of that process made me unelectable, or made me not going to be the right. And I'm going to ride off in the sunset and rest on my laurel. Or if he wants to stay current, then he's got to shift attention from himself to the agenda. I know that he has great confidence in himself, but he can say that I gave you this agenda. And everybody seems to agree that we have to restore the industrial capacity of the United States. We've got to be tough on China. We've got to have a border that's secure. Joe Biden blew up immigration law. It doesn't exist in America on the southern border. Nobody's talking about gasoline prices because... And their way of thinking, if they've gone up $3 and they went down 50 cents, that's a cut. But they're still much higher, and people know that. Inflation went from 9.2, and now it's 8.5. But 8.5 is extraordinary. The Fed is going to tighten up. People are still, this is the anniversary week, last week was, of the Afghanistan debacle. So they don't want to talk about those issues, so what are they doing? So we had the January 6th Commission, of which there was no Republican on the committee who did not vote to impeach Donald Trump or who had a political future. If he takes the third alternative, and that's what you hinted at, and he keeps dwelling on the injustices that were done to him, he's kind of like a Sophocles and Ajax, where the entire play is about all the wrongs that people did to Ajax, all of which were legitimate criticism. Everything he says has legitimate grounds, but it doesn't matter now. The matter is the future of the United States and the world.
Yeah.
And so
it really is that big, isn't it?
Yes. The problem is he's putting himself into a paradox where the effort to get justice, even if he were to achieve it, would be such a distraction and such controversy that his agenda would be overshadowed. And there's people all over the United States that need that agenda. And so Donald Trump is going to have to decide which is more important to him, to be the leader of the Republican Party and to look ahead and not to do what he did in 2020 when he fixated on the election. He let the Georgia races, the two Senate races, sort of, you know, he basically told his supporters the vote won't be valid. And then the independents, he seemed to be distracted. So they elected two neo-socialists in Georgia, of all places. And so that should have been a warning. So he's going to have to get that message to barnstorm the country and help these candidates and not talk about what happened. And if he doesn't take the responsibility to run on the agenda and to make sure that other people other than himself win this time around, I think he's going to be in real trouble. People who are running for office are going to tell him the 2020 election is history. And to the degree that there is a legitimate criticism about the outcome, it was probably lost in March and April when the voting laws were changed, and that was not addressed by the Republican. And right now we need to look at the future. And each moment that you go back there, you play into the fake narrative of an insurrection and fascism, and that's what they want you to do. The problem is with the Republicans that they are reactive. Well, we're not insurrectionists. You're defaming us. We're not fascist. You shouldn't have raided. This is terrible. So they're reacting in a news cycle to these melodramas that are concocted. And it's taken a lot of momentum, at least out of them. I don't think it'll change, but at some point, some adult in the Republican Party is going to have to say, do your worst, and we're going to do our best. We're going to have a national agenda, and it's going to be the antithesis of this disastrous 2 years, and we're all going to be on the same page, and this is what we're going to run on, and I think they'll be okay.
Closing out this weekend, this Saturday night program, is Steve Forbes, and he's going to give some real generalizations. He says it's going to be very interesting about Trump, and of course he's not giving up on him either yet. But anyway, it's going to be a very interesting election year, that for darn sure. But here we go with ending the program with some Steve Forbes general views and opinions and predictions. Here we go with Steve Forbes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Diane Brady. I'm here with Steve Forbes, who is the chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and we are at the Global CEO Conference in Singapore. Steve, you gave a great speech today, and you talked about this being the most important election since 1980, U.S. election. Why is that?
Because it will be about the direction of the United States in terms of foreign policy. Are we going to be active in the world, or are we going to have a passive policy, which would not be good for freedom in the United States and around the world? At home in the United States, what direction will the economy go? Will it be more government-directed, as you see in Europe, or will we revert to what we've done in the past, having more of a freewheeling enterprise system, which can get us back to 4.5% growth rates? So those questions have to be decided by the voters. And I think that's why 2024 is going to be crucial, just as 1980 defined the end of the Cold War, huge expansion, rise of Silicon Valley. I think we're at that kind of crossroads again.
And I'm putting faith in the U.S. voter, but do you think that they will be voting on essentially the economy? Because it seems like right now they're voting on a host of different issues when you look at who's in the lead, or at least the GOP.
The economy will be the big issue because people feel the economy is not on the right track, that they're not moving ahead the way they should, that there is a firm direction in Washington. They feel quite the opposite about that. The border issue, amazingly, is going to be a huge issue because it's now hitting home in cities like New York City,
yeah,
where Democrats are shooting each other politically.
Yeah.
What do we do about this? So, but I also think, though, there's a sense of, especially with the war in Ukraine, concern about Taiwan. What's the U.S. place in the world? How active should we be? What should we do with our military in the future? Right now, the Biden administration is betwixt and between. It sort of wants to have an active policy, but it doesn't want to put the resources into it. So you get crazy things like Iran. Oh, we must stop in Iran in the Middle East. But we're going to do a $6 billion hostage deal with Iran. Saudis wonder, what's the U.S. up to?
Yeah. You know what I find? I feel like I buried my lead because you do not believe that it will be a Biden-Trump, you know, essentially.
The consensus. You're right.
That's the consensus.
Is.
So why is that?
Because I think, one, Joe Biden is not going to be the candidate. Unfortunately, his deterioration is becoming more and more public.
Mm-hmm.
I think by spring of next year, the Democrats are going to come to him and say, for the sake of the party, you've had a good run. You did a great job, Joe, but it's time to bring a new generation in. That way they can get a new top of the ticket, new VP candidate, and in their minds have a good chance against the Republicans. On the Republican side, right now Donald Trump has a formidable lead. Republicans, I think, are rightly angry about these prosecutions, these indictments. But it's a long time between now and Iowa and South Carolina and New Hampshire. And a lot can happen. I think you're going to see other candidates emerge. Whether they can take on the former president, we'll see. But already starting to see a Cinderella aspect to people like Nikki Haley.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, may end up getting in the race after his legislative elections in November.
You think a Youngkin-Haley ticket would be possible?
A Youngkin-Haley ticket would be, I think, in some people's eyes,
or
ideal.
Or a Haley-Youngkin ticket.
Or Haley-Youngkin ticket. People are wondering, how do you appeal to independents? How do you appeal to suburban voters who traditionally vote Republican but didn't in the midterm elections or in 2020?
Now, you mentioned, and of course with this whole, the victimization, the perceived victimization of Donald Trump with each, you know, indictment, his poll numbers go up. What is it that would possibly not have him on the ticket?
It could be as the contests get underway and people want to then really make a choice. It's one thing to tell a pollster. I think what's happening is outrageous and cheer him when he comes to a rally or to a dinner or whatever. Quite another when you decide who is going to be the party's nominee. And after the disappointment of the 2022 midterm elections, where the Republicans talked about the red wave, was a pretty diluted red by the time of Wednesday morning, I think they're in a mood, we got to win this thing, because four more years of what has happened in terms of the massive regulations and everything else that they feel is going wrong, can't take a chance. Let's go for something new.
So the health issues are certainly becoming more to the fore with Joe Biden, but to what extent do you feel the Hunter Biden case is actually continuing to haunt him? Because now I'm reading about talks of impeachment, you know, and how that would be healing. I mean, how important is that, do you think, to voters?
Right now, it's not registered the way the economy has.
Mm-hmm.
Has not gotten much coverage. Oh, errant family member, that happens in a lot of families.
Right.
But
poor Joe.
But now it looks like poor Joe certainly has been more involved than he said he was, calling all those people that his son told him to call,
mm-hmm.
The traveling together. Obviously, Hunter wasn't long just to look at the sites. What are you doing, son? Oh, I want to try local restaurants. No. And one thing about the possible impeachment inquiry for Kevin McCarthy, the speaker can bring the party together
mm-hmm.
to do it, is it makes it more possible through subpoena to get the kind of information that has been hidden up to now. It took a House takeover by the Republicans to get the information out now that should have been out 4 or 5 years ago. So I think they could do it more as a mechanism, what exactly did happen. So I think that's going to be another pressure point on Joe Biden, the president, and the Democrats are hoping, okay, he gets out at the end of his term, he'll pardon his son, he'll pardon his brother, he'll pardon himself, and everyone rides off into the horizon.
Who rides in?
I think it'll be the Republicans. Now, the Republicans are known for snatching a defeat out of the jaws of victory. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why it's called the stupid party. And so we can't underestimate their capacity to lose elections. But I think it's going to be more like 1980. People are going to say, we've got to take a chance. We've got to make a change. What we're doing now is clearly not working. And you can see it in the polls where people feel the direction of the country is not the right direction. They don't feel things are right.
Is there a Democrat that you think would be the leading candidate to stand in for? Because you mentioned the vice president is not necessarily the most desirable in the eyes of the DNC.
They don't feel she distinguished herself, starting with being appointed the border czar. Boy, that was something she probably wished she never had. And so there's a desire maybe like in 1976 when the regular Democratic candidates were felled by a former governor. Jimmy Carter was out of office as governor when he ran in 76. He was an asterisk for the early part of the contest. Ended up winning the nomination. Total outsider. You have to remember, 1980, even though Ronald Reagan had been governor of the largest state of the Union for 8 years, he was seen as an outlier among the Republican candidates. And he ended up winning and winning by a landslide. So didn't work with Carter, did work with Reagan, but both were outsiders. And so the Democrats may try to pick a governor like of North Carolina. Who's that? Well, let's try him. And so and it could be a name we haven't even mentioned yet.
You think Gavin Newsom's a possibility?
Gavin Newsom thinks he is the logical one, governor.
Do you think he is?
I think that if it goes to a contest, we have to go out and get votes rather than being anointed by, as Biden was in effect when they cleared the field and made him the winner in South Carolina, and that ended that contest, where they have the superdelegates of the DNC pick a candidate, where it's an inside job, it would be Newsom. But in terms of an open contest, Democrats may be in a mood to try somebody utterly new.
That's good. So to sum up, in terms of what you think going forward, what are the odds you would put on Biden-Trump? I know you said that you don't believe it's going to be the case. Do you think it's almost inevitable at this point that both of them are not going to...
I would say inevitable. Never use that
word. Never use that word.
After what's happened in the last 20 years, starting with 9/11, unthinkable things, a little humility is in order. With that caveat, I think it's inevitable that Biden will not be the Democratic nominee. Donald Trump must never be underestimated. The mugshot that he put out, or they put out of him, instead of looking like, oh, I'm a criminal, like the traditional shot.
Poll numbers went up again.
Poll numbers went up because he had that right defiant look, and people said, hit the SOBs.
Great. Well, we will continue the conversation. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Well, there'll be a lot to discuss.
Great.
This has been a very, very raucous week, and I mean, my gosh, it's unpredictable. They're flooding the borders. Eagle Pass is being overrun. There's reports now of violence in El Paso. We're seeing just an inundation of thousands of illegal immigrants across our southern border. And I'm really, really scared about what's going to happen to this country. And we've got to try to control that southern border. Otherwise, my gosh, we don't have a country anymore. We're getting very, very close to that. Paxton did win in the Senate, and I believe that that was the refutation of the existing Houston cartel and power base more than any other thing. And I think the senators huddled together in the Senate, Texas Senate, and decided to take back control of Texas politics. And I really think that that basically was what their decision was on Paxton, because some of the charges probably were valid, but they didn't want any outside group, and especially that Houston group, very powerful group down there, to take control and to rule Texas politics. So that's sort of my opinion in a nutshell. And I want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening to The Secret Truth. We try to get it right, and we try to be objective, but it's hard to do all the time. But anyway, God bless each and every one of you, and let's try to get this country back and save it and get it together for all American citizens, no matter what you look like.